broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here as we are broadcasting from the shores of the El Pacifico. If you're watching our video cast tonight, you can see us sitting here in front of the El Pacifico, although that El Pacifico is a outdoor camera taken at a different time of day because the sun's out. But nonetheless, it's a beautiful ocean out there, ain't it, bud?
Yeah, it's pretty nice out there and everything. The go out's pretty windy today, though.
Well, it hasn't been the greatest summer. When I say that, I want to first of all say I appreciate that, you know, we have summer. I wish it was a little bit warmer. It was 116 degrees in the valley on Saturday.
Man, you were driving in that.
What?
You were driving in that, right?
I was driving back from a gig in Studio City, and which was a very interesting, it was a voiceover gig that I went to. It was to voice a character, let's put it that way. And it was an interesting studio that I went to because very professional and very great guys, and I really liked working with them. But at first I thought I was in the middle of that movie we saw the other night, Sisters of Death, you know, that Spanish colonial.
Yeah, it played Devil Dead. Looked like the devil lived there.
Yeah, it sort of looked like the devil. If it hadn't been right off of a main drag in Burbank, I would have thought I was in that movie. But as soon as I was walking around in the back of this place, is there anyone here? Hello? And finally, I called, and they were like in the door next to me. So driving home from that, I hit a traffic jam. There was some kind of a sig alert, some sort of an accident, and that's fine. But it was 116 degrees, man. The place that I was at.
What part?
I was in the San Fernando Valley. Woodland Hills is where I was going through. And it was 116 degrees. Now, I got no problem with. I like the heat personally. But I'd rather be laying by a pool or in a pool when it's happening. Or I'd like to be. One time I played golf.
Yeah, you ought to tell people because that's insane.
Well, I played golf with a Swede one time out in the desert. And he and I were out there, and, you know, as golf buddies would, we were out there one weekend, and I guess maybe there's some other friends, but it was just me and the Swede on this one. It was like a Friday, and we were having a few beers, and I said, you know, there's nobody out on that golf course. Let's go out and play around. He said, yeah. So we go out in the middle of the day. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning.
You could die. You know that, don't you?
You can die if you are 80 years old and you're not getting enough. You know, there's a lot of. But no, I wasn't going to die. The first thing we did is we brought a lot of water with us. And the water was inside beer, but still, it's water.
No, you're going to die if you only drink the beer.
No, we drank water, too. The water that was in the beer. No, we did. But we had beer. And, of course, we had beer. Do I look insane? I'm going to go out there. Oh, let's go out and play some golf. And it's 116 degrees and only drink water? No. So I know that sounds crazy to some people, but to other people, what I just said makes perfect sense. Man, I'm telling you, we went out there and it was one of the most enjoyable experiences of my life because, first of all, as I recall, I played really well. And secondly, there wasn't a soul out there. And thirdly, 116 degrees. There ain't much difference between 105 and 116, as far as I can tell. And as long as you keep hydrated, by that I mean you have water and you have sunblock, okay, and you don't, you know, overexert yourself. And golf, I would not call a sport that overexerts you, you know.
Well, are you riding around a golf cart or are you walking?
Riding around on a golf cart. You know, most of those courses out there in the desert, they ain't going to let you take a golf cart out on them. You have to, you know, you got to, they're not going to let you walk the course. They want you to be in a golf cart, and you have to stay on the path because the reason why they tell you to take a golf cart is they don't want you walking and slowing up people. They want the play to move along, and golf carts means you move along. So having said all of that, it was a very enjoyable time. And that's the only time I think I ever liked being in 116-degree weather, or if I'm out there at the, you know, hanging around a pool. But that's where I was in the middle of that traffic jam, and Jack, it was not a pleasant thing. All right, why are we talking about that?
You're talking about it.
I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to our show, 877-876-PHIL. And our a couple of things to tell you, our email address, not email address, our website is philhendryshow.com. And you can also tweet and Twitter and all that jazz, man, at twitter.com/realphilhendry. And we're on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendry. There's a Jim Carrey video out where he confesses his love for Emma Stone. And people are creeped out by it. But I thought it was a pretty decent message. I don't know.
Yeah, play it.
Here is...
This is a message for Emma Stone. Emma, I just wanted to let you know that I think you're all the way beautiful. Not just pretty, but, you know, smart and kind-hearted. And if I were a lot younger, I would marry you. And we would have chubby little freckle-faced kids. We'd laugh all day long, go camping and play Yahtzee and tell ghost stories by the fire. And the sex. And every day for the rest of your life, you would thank God that I was the appropriate age for you.
This is funny, man.
God, I'm not.
But I'm not.
I'm 49.
I'm 49.
I have lines on my face, sometimes a little gray in my beard, and it takes me a lot longer to pee than it used to. These are the only discernible signs of aging that I can find so far. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know how I felt. I think you're pretty special. And I wish you continued success and artistic fulfillment. But most of all, I wish you love and contentment. That's all.
This is very funny.
Dude, it's creepy.
It ain't creepy at all. It's funny. It's Jim Carrey funny. It's pretty funny to me anyway. Is he married?
I don't know.
I don't think he is. He couldn't possibly be. You couldn't possibly do that and be married, although, you know, like I said, it's Jim Carrey. So what's creepy about that? Well, people believe that it's that there was something wrong with the guy. Let me read the story here. The Associated Press, his sense of humor has always been a little off-kilter, but the online crowd is aflutter about his latest ploy. The 49-year-old actor-comedian helped launch his website, JimCarreyTrueLife.com, Wednesday with a video love letter to the help star, Emma Stone. The 1 minute, 53-second video shows Carrey speaking into a handheld camera and professing his adoration for the 22-year-old actress. Some folks are calling it creepy. Only if you have no knowledge of what comedy is. If you have none, you call it creepy. Or you're just trying to call it creepy because you think it's because you think people pay attention to you because you called it creepy. There ain't nothing wrong with it. He says he would marry her. The video had nearly 2,000 comments. According to whoever wrote this, if I made the same video, I'd get a I'd have a restraining order put on me. One commenter said, Carrey said on Twitter that the video was a comedy routine. He ends the video, lips a quiver with emotion. It's, his lips are not a quiver with emotion. His lips are a quiver with comedy, as in he's, you know, affecting it. Okay, so I'm glad we were able to put that one, you know, to rest.
Well, no, wait a minute. How do you, what do you mean you put it to rest?
I put it to rest.
Yeah, but I mean, there are a lot of people who thought different about that.
What do you think?
Yeah, what you think it's real? I don't know. It could be.
Man, you don't know about the comedy and everything. If you do,
and you think you do?
I'm telling you, in this case, I agree with Bud. Look at it again, man. It's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. I'm sure he probably thinks she's hot. And I think he probably would like to go out on a date with her, okay? But he knows that the only way to express that is in a, you know, in a kind of a thinly veiled comedic routine. And that's what he did.
Wait a minute, man. What does that mean?
It means he was being He was being funny and everything.
It was not being funny. It wasn't funny to me.
It was funny to me and funny to Bud.
He only said it funny to him after you said it funny.
No, I said it was funny. Well, I think I said it was funny. Well, maybe at the same time.
All right. Who cares who said it first? You got to watch it again. It's comedy, Jack. Maybe it's not the most uproariously funny thing in the world. I thought it was. It got laughs out of me. And I know what's funny. Believe me.
Why are you hitting yourself?
I don't know. My hand is just hitting my chest. And okay, that's enough, Phil. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our regular number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Maybe we'll take calls. Probably we won't. Lady Gaga performs in drag as male alter ego. I got to tell you something, man. The problem that we have with the world today is that with all of the social media, all the video sites, all of the places where one can comment, people feel the need to fill up all those spaces with commentary. Now, as we've often said on this show, there's a million different ways to deliver information, and there's very little information to deliver. Or if you want to put it a better way, there's all kinds of delivery systems, and nobody really has much to say of any real value. We are, in the words of Charles Bukowski, we are living in an age where God made lots of poets, but not enough poetry. So Jim Carrey puts a video up that is a perfectly normal, funny video for Jim Carrey. It's totally his humor. And because there's all of these boxes where you should make comments, everybody has to fill up the boxes with comments, and they want to, you know, say, well, that's kind of creepy. Well, anybody that really found that creepy, they have no sense of humor. They sure as hell don't know this guy's sense of humor, and they don't get it, and bug off, okay? Go back to whatever. Go back to the VMA Awards. All right, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Speaking of that, Lady Gaga performs in drag as her Mulder, speaking of not funny, as her male alter ego Joe Calderon, or Calderoni, at the 2011 MTV Video Music Awards. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio. I thought it was for funny Patriots, no, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
And it's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Buddy, have you got that?
Yeah, I got cut two, or I mean cut three, two.
You don't have to tell me cut three, two. What, have you got the cut?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
All right, this is Lady Gaga, as we like to call her.
Lady Gag.
All right, don't get cute. Lady Gag. Like that joke hasn't been done.
I haven't heard it in a while.
Anyway, here is Lady Gag and Lady Gaga, and here she is from last night. Just one of a couple of clips we have, so you can see how much she sucked. Here she goes.
Lady Gaga, she left me. She said it always starts out good, and then the guys, meaning me, I'm one of the guys, we get crazy. I did, I got crazy. But she's... crazy too, right? I mean, she's crazy!
Is that it? Okay, now here is the next one.
When she pees, it's like she covers her face.
When she pees?
She doesn't want me to see. Like, she can't stand to have one honest moment when nobody's watching.
Nah, when she pees.
I want her... to be real.
Okay, well, and that is really Lady Gaga speaking on behalf of many of us who can't be real, and we have our alter egos, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, she's all dressed up looking funny and looking funky and funny, man.
Yeah, she's pretty funky.
Okay, she's funky and fun, but that's a couple of cuts from last night's performance. And it was the VMA Awards, and it wasn't just celebrating great performances. It was hosting a few of them. The Lady Gaga always is interesting to me because, obviously, the comparisons to Madonna are legitimate. Yeah, and Madonna at Madonna's most creative, there's a lot about her that reminds you of Lady Gaga. There's a lot about what Madonna did. You know, she went through her phases of different kinds of Madonnas. Remember when she was like the...
Yeah, she's like a virgin. She's all dressed up like a virgin and junk like that.
Yeah. And then she did her her conical brassiere period where she tried to look like... Wasn't she trying to look like Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, she's trying to look like Marilyn Monroe. And then another time she did that book, which is all... was. Well, she did.
No, she didn't. I saw that book. Remember that big book that came out in 92?
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah, and it had metal covers. I actually gave one of those away on the air. It wasn't cheap either. And I saw those pictures, and they were very sexual, but they were, I would not call pornographic. I would not call them pornographic. So now we have Lady Gaga, and how long before she's nude? Anybody want to make a bet?
No, I don't think she will.
Yeah, if she's smart, she won't.
If she's smart, she won't, and I agree. I agree. If Lady Gaga is smart, she will not get nude. But I don't know. She may be smarter than Madonna. Maybe the time has passed by where an artist can get, you know, artists were being naked, per se, is that much of a shock. But I'm telling you right now, I got money that says when she runs out of ideas, she'll get naked. Just like me, when I'm going to run out of ideas, I'm going to have to get naked.
What's that got to do with being in a magazine?
Well, that's true. You know, what I do is I just go to bed.
What are you talking about getting naked?
I'm joking around, okay? Don't push it. Anyway, Lady Gaga took the stage to open the show, but it wasn't the act that viewers might have been expecting. Dressed in drag as her male alter ego, Joe Calderon, Gaga gave a long monologue casting Calderon as a jilted lover left behind by his famous ex. Lady Gaga, she left me. Well, you heard the whole thing. No less than Queen guitarist Brian May took the stage to join the performer on the song You and I. Now, that was an interesting moment when Brian May, formerly of Queen, came out and began to play. And somebody asked me, do you think he needed the gig? Well, did he need the gig? Obviously, she's a fan. And if Lady Gaga, somebody's at the height of their popularity, asks you to come out and play guitar, unless you can't stand what they do, you know.
Did you think she forced him to?
What do you mean forced him to?
I mean...
Yeah, what do you mean forced him to?
What do you think she made him?
How's she going to make him?
She just tell him, you better do it or else.
So what's she going to do?
What do you think she's going to do, man?
She could just, you know, say...
What are you talking about, bud?
I don't know. Just say, you know, I'm Lady Gaga and you better do it or else.
What is she going to do? Have his thumbs broken or...
You mentioned Lady Gaga has Brian May's thumbs broken?
He plays like she already did.
Why don't you shut up? He plays like she already... I happen to think he's a very good guitar player in a kind of a band. All right.
You think Queen is average?
I didn't like him. All right, so don't get me off on talking about... I mean, not get me off, but...
Don't get you off.
Don't get me talking about... And while some people expected Gaga, who showed up at last year's VMAs wearing her now infamous meat dress, to pull a costume change, it never happened. When the VMA for Best Female Video went to Born This Way, Gaga got up still costumed as Calderon to accept the award. I'm so happy to accept the award tonight because Gaga's not here for Best Female Video, she said. Thank you so much to director Nick Knight, and I know if she were here tonight, she would want me to thank her little monsters. None of this was a surprise to the show's producers, who actually asked Gaga to open the awards ceremony after she shared her plans with them. I was just really excited. I was really happy because they asked me after I told them what I wanted to do. Gaga told MTV News, so it was even more exciting because I knew that it was based off the performance idea and MTV believing in me as an artist. No, MTV believes in you as a potential money machine.
Hey, yeah.
First things first, you know, Gaga. But what's the difference? If they believe in you as an artist, if they believe in you as a money machine, it's the same thing. If you're a great artist, you're a money machine, at least in the minds of some. So she said that someone who might not have been briefed so thoroughly, Britney Spears. Gaga, as Calderon, presented the superstar singer, age 29, with the Big Deal Video Vanguard Award, but their interaction was a bit odd. When Spears first arrived on stage, the two did a cutesy act of almost kissing, which Spears then shrugged off, saying... She's already done that. Remember her VMA kiss with Madonna in 2003. What was weird was when Gaga, Calderon, never backed off, crowding Spears at the podium as she gave her acceptance speech and then introduced the next performer, Beyonce. Say what you will about Gaga's performance, but she never broke character, and she certainly made a lasting impression. And that's that. We'll be right back here on the world famous.
Don't you think it was good?
No, I didn't think it was good.
She made a lasting impression.
She made a lasting impression, yeah. I hadn't thought about her until I read this news story, so. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You seem depressed.
I am very depressed. We'll be right back. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. I'm fine. I think.
You know, Phil, my mentor.
Hang up on him.
Phil Hendry. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
What about it?
You're playing all that N-word, man.
It's Dr. Dre. I happen to like it.
You really do like it?
Yes, I do like Dr. Dre, and I'm not going to explain to you. You know, get out of here, will you, Robert? Bug off.
What are you talking about? He says the N-word.
I don't care if he does say the N-word. I like it. I listen to it. Okay? Get out of here, man.
Yeah, but you don't understand that music.
Yeah, you're right. I don't understand it. I'm older than you guys. I've been through a lot in this world. I don't need to explain myself to either one of you jackballs, black or white. Back off. Okay?
I say nothing about it. Just wonder why you listen to it.
Because I like it. Because it's angry. Because it's pissed off. Because maybe I'd like to talk that way.
Yeah, so you want to call a guy N-word.
I'm going to smack you in about 5 seconds. All right, Simon Cowell wants to freeze his body after he dies. All right.
Yay!
That's fantastic! Now, I saw this thing on the tube, just to give you a little context. There is a marvelous, marvelous HBO documentary that's currently, I believe it's currently on demand. And if you go over to your, and by the way, everybody has Dish Network and everyone has DirecTV, and I don't. And there are a couple of reasons why I don't, one of which I'm too lazy. I used to have the satellite dish. I had it all, man, and I have not. And I've moved to another house, and I don't yet, I just, you know, I'm lazy. But everybody was tweeting about the VMAs last night, and I was asking, where are you guys watching this, man? Because I don't see anything having to do with any VMAs. And it turned out everybody had either Dish or they had DirecTV. So, Time Warner, you guys, let me tell you something, Time Warner. Your Time Warner is almost up.
You're going to get the Dish, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yeah, I am. And I'll probably get it in time for, you know, so I can absorb most of the NFL package. I don't know. But I couldn't watch it live because I was on cable and they didn't have, I guess I hadn't purchased the East Coast feed. I don't know what my problem was, but I didn't have it. But I did watch not too long ago. I thought it was a really interesting and terrific documentary on Ted Williams. Now, Ted Williams was a baseball player. Some of you, I'm sure even the younger people, you know the name Ted Williams, probably, and here's why you know the name, because you think his head got frozen somewhere, right? That's horse dung. That never happened, okay? However, first of all, you have two things, lots of information and really stupid people, and what does that amount to? Misinformation. Nobody knows what anybody's talking about, and so people have, like, the wrong impression. And this guy was talking, somebody who is a big admirer of Ted Williams. He was a sports writer. He said, it's too bad that Ted Williams to an entire generation is a punchline, that they know Ted Williams more as this dude who supposedly had his head frozen and was not a great baseball player. And that's really true. Number one, Ted Williams never had his head frozen. Can we just, you know?
Well, yeah, but how do you know for sure? I hear they've got it in a freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you heard. They've got it in a freezer. Now, are you listening to what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Are you listening to the truth? Because this was a member of his family. This was a person that was an attorney for the family. This was an individual that represented the cryogenic institute or institution. And in general, the information imparted that was truthful was that there is no Ted Williams head frozen anywhere. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do, but you don't. They may be covering up.
Oh my God, man!
Well, how do you know, man? I mean, how do you know they ain't lying and trying to cover up?
You know, Robert. First of all, you have to ask yourself, and this is the intellectual laziness that's afoot these days. If you want to believe, for instance, you know the guy that was following Buzz Aldrin around and saying, "Swear on the stack of Bibles." Would you swear on this Bible that you're on the moon? Remember that?
Yeah.
That's what passes for intellectual curiosity. If that ass that did that had any brains or actually had any intestinal fortitude, it's easy enough to check out whether or not we were on the moon. There's radio communication. There are any number of, if you're out to prove a supposition or to prove something, as we've often said, the empirical method is to prove it wrong. So, the only way to prove your point, which is that the moon landing was faked, okay, is to go out and prove that it actually happened. That's what you have to do. If you want to prove something, you have to prove its opposite.
I don't do it.
That's the way scientists do it. That is the intellectually honest way. If you are convinced, and you can apply that to anything, and when you do apply that to anything, you see how really gutless and how unscientific many people are. If you want to prove that we did not land on the moon, because you don't believe we landed on the moon, right?
Yeah.
The only way that is scientifically acceptable, and this is the scientific method that goes back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the only scientifically acceptable way of going about making that, proving that, is by proving the opposite. Prove that we landed on the moon. Prove we landed on the moon. Okay? If you cannot, now you are. And the last thing, the laziest thing you do is to tell a guy to swear on a Bible. You know? So that guy sort of went away. He didn't prove anything. Now along comes Ted Williams. And there you are, Robert, telling me, well, how do you know? And
I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying I want to believe his head that they froze it up. But I'm just wondering, you know.
You're wondering what, man? You're wondering what? How do you know that that whole frozen head thing didn't start with some guy telling a joke?
Yeah, what do you mean tell a joke? They said his head was in a... that they froze it.
Who said that? Go ahead, tell me, who said that?
Well...
yeah, you don't even know. You know who said it. So, probably it was the idea that anybody would cry. And here, and this is why I want to say this, folks. The documentary I saw was so interesting. Ted Williams, and being a Californian, you know, and I say this with pride, being a Californian, I never knew how many great athletes came from California, but specifically, how many of the truly great baseball players come from California. I had no idea that Ted Williams was from San Diego. Ted Williams was born and raised in San Diego, and in point of fact, lived in a terrible home. His mother was into the... very weird. His father was gone. It was him and his brother, and a mother that was devoted to the Salvation Army morning, noon, and night. This woman did not pay any attention to her boys. She was out trying to save souls for the Salvation Army. Sounds to me like she was a little crackers, like there was something off about her. And Williams later in life said it was a horrible home to live in. He said it was a filthy mess, a pigsty. And he went out and he played baseball. His brother, on the other hand, got in trouble with the law. And it was unfortunate. His brother went down a path that led to jail and to running up against the police. Whereas Ted Williams went out, he played baseball, and he found some release, he found talent, he found he had talent for it, and he played ball. And the documentary follows his life from the San Diego Padres.
He played for the Padres?
He played for the minor league San Diego Padres, the Pacific Coast League Padres. He played for them, and then eventually found his way to Boston, and he had a career in Boston that was obviously... it is legendary, and obviously any Red Sox fan knows the name Ted Williams and honors the name Ted Williams, but also it was very controversial. Ted Williams had his run-ins with the fans. He had his run-ins with the press. Ted Williams, you got to understand, If you ever read Jim Boughton's book, Boughton talks about Ted Williams standing in a batting cage. Ted Williams would say this. He would say, my name is Ted Williams. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Bang! He'd knock one into the seats.
He's talking to himself.
He's talking to anybody that's there. He's talking to anybody that's there. He's in the batting cage. He's saying, my name is Ted Williams. I'm the greatest hitter in baseball. Bang! He'd knock one out. Then he'd say things like this. Here comes Jim Bunning. You know who Jim Bunning is?
That guy, he's in a Congress.
He's in Congress now. He's in Congress now. But Ted Williams, he would say, here comes Jim Bunning with that crappy little slider of his. Does he really think he's going to get me out? Bang! You know? So this is the way he talked. And this is the man that he was, and this was the ego he had, and, you know, quite frankly, he backed it up. Now the man is in later years, and guess what? For whatever reason, not just Ted Williams, but his daughter, his son, his family is interested in science. And they're interested in this idea of cryogenic freezing. And so, sure enough, when Ted Williams passed on, his body was remanded to or given over to whatever remanded. It was
arrested.
Yes, it was arrested by the cryogenic facility. No, it wasn't. It was, you know, they gave it over to this cryogenic facility where it is now frozen. His body, not his head, his body. When they asked his daughter, who is a, I think she's a very good spokesperson for the family and for her father, she said, you want to know something? I'm going to lay it out to you real straight, guys. My family is interested in science. We have all shared this interest down through the years. My father, myself, my brother, our family. And that's all I'm going to tell you guys. That's all you have a right to know. It's none of your business. So take it and stick it up your you-know-what. Thank you and good afternoon, gentlemen.
She didn't say that, did she?
Just about. She said, you know, this is our business. This is our family's business. Stick it up your you-know-what. And by the way, yes, we did land on the moon. Thank you, and have a very pleasant good evening.
Did she really say that?
No, man. I'm telling you what. I'm paraphrasing. So now we have Simon Cowell, the former American Idol judge, famous for, quote, freezing contestants in their tracks with his biting critiques. Now he says he wants to freeze more than that, his body, after he dies. In his recent interview with GQ magazine, Cowell explains why he'd like to have his body cryonically frozen. I think I probably used the wrong term, cryogenically. Cryonically frozen. It's an insurance policy. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, I'll be happy. If it's possible, and I think it will be, why not have a second crack? Does that sound crazy? I think it's a good idea. I have a feeling that if I don't do it now, I could regret this in 300 years.
That's pretty funny, man.
I have a feeling that if I don't do it now, I could regret it in 300 years' time. That's enough to say it again. Setting aside the moral, ethical, and practical considerations of freezing someone's body in case medical research can ever find a way to restore life, what kind of legal complications can this cause for the family? And then the writer goes into his version of what he thinks is funny, which we will bypass. On a more serious note, wanting one's body to be cryonically frozen can have more serious legal implications for the family. Remember what happened when famed baseball slugger Ted Williams passed away in 2002? His story is one we share in our book, Trial and Error's Famous Fortune Fights. When Williams died at the age of 83, one of his daughters wanted to follow his final wishes as spelled out in the 96 will. The will stated that he wanted his body cremated and his ashes spread off the coast of Florida, where the waters run deep. Sounds like a pleasant final resting place. Williams' two other children from a later marriage, however, had a different idea. They wanted his body frozen and stored. Why? They felt that that those were his true wishes, based on a grease-stained note from 2000 that Williams and those two children signed while he was in the hospital. The note said they wanted a chance to be together again in the future in case medical science could bring them back to light. So, I do recall now there is a daughter that is fighting that. Well, that, you know, but again, like the kid said, It's something that's a family business, got nothing to do with you slobs, so go bother Simon Cowell. All right, we'll be right back here on the Phil Henry Show, closing things out here. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. You can get a podcast of tonight's show. You can look at the video cast of our show yet again if you haven't seen it already. Wisconsin Clinic may have exposed patients to bloodborne disease. That sounds funny. We'll get into it. And Indiana vouchers prompt thousands to change schools. That also sounds funny. We'll be back with the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
On the homepage, you guys see that Little Debbie picture of Phil as Little Debbie, and that was done by Amanda Green, who's a great musician and artist in Miami. And I don't know why I've got it on the homepage. It makes me look like, you know.
You look like some kind of old man that wants to dress as a girl.
Man,
what are you laughing at?
The way you said that, man, you sounded like you had a speech impediment. You go to the guru.
Well, you do.
Okay. It would have been funnier. Well, actually, it couldn't have been funnier. The way you said it was funny. All right.
Yeah, you're making fun of a guy with an impediment.
Oh, I'm not making fun of a guy with an impediment. You're going too fast. Slow down. You look like a guy. You know, you're going to not be able to say it right. All right, couple of things. What happened to that story, man? Oh, Indiana vouchers prompt thousands to change schools. What? What? Weeks after Indiana began the nation's broadest school voucher program, lots of broads, thousands of students have transferred from public to private schools. Oh, are they in for a surprise? Causing a spike in enrollment at some Catholic institutions that were only recently on the brink of closing for lack of pupils. Now, let me explain something, because I went to Catholic school my whole life. All of you people that are transferring over to Catholic schools, number one, you ain't got nothing to say about nothing, mom and dad. You understand that? You have nothing to say about anything. Now, here is where, and this is a very real thing that I'm about to tell you. Here is where you have legal rights when it comes to a private institution. If they have represented themselves in a certain way, you have every right in the world to hold them to that. However, beyond that, you have no rights. You can take your kid out of there, and of course they're not allowed to abuse the children. They're not allowed to break the law. They're not allowed to criminally treat these children. But beyond that, if they say that, you know, the kids are going to go to Mass at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's going to be at 3:30, and the nun said this, and the principal said that, and here is the curriculum, and thus and so, and here's the uniform that they have to wear, you got nothing to say about it. And I hope that a lot of these people that are, you know, fleeing the public schools to go to a private institution where they think that the Catholics are going to kick ass on their kids and give them this quality education and turn them into fantastic people. Well, it's very true. I mean, look at the guy that I became. Well,
yeah.
There's other examples, and so that's a great thing. But there's a downside, mom and dad. You ain't got nothing to say. That's right. Because if you think they're just kicking ass on your kids, think again. They're going to say to you this, 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 and this. Well, wait a minute. We don't give a damn what you think. How do you feel about that one? You go ahead and sue. You go ahead and waste all your money. The only rights you have is to hold the school to what it represents itself as. I'll give an example of that. There was a private school that was outlawing certain attitudes, certain clubs that had opinions about women, okay? They were clubs that were started by men, and they had opinions about the women's liberation movement or the women's rights movement, however, as if there's such a thing, I mean, as if there should be such a thing, but nonetheless. And the school outlawed it. The school very famously outlawed it because it's a very liberal institution. And not only that, I mean, they felt it was not, it did not behoove the image of the school. But The students turned around and sued, and they sued on the basis of this. In the catalog for the school, it says, we tolerate a wide diversity of opinion. And we encourage a wide diversity of opinion. And we encourage dialogue. And what? Right? Just that paragraph there. A judge ruled, well, frankly, they have a case because you guys said this and that and something else, and you didn't come through in this particular position. So guess what? Your ass owes money. So the private institutions, whether they're high schools or grade schools or colleges, must adhere to their charter, to the express charter. Otherwise, we'll stand on the cliffs waiting for Cornwallis and...
out of time.
And we're out of time. All right. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you tomorrow night. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. Take a look at these new beautiful baseball caps. That's right. We got the ball caps in with the Phil Henry insignia. Hit the shop up in the next couple of days. They'll be in there, baby. And, of course, we're on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry. And we wish all of you a very, very pleasant good evening here from the El Pacifico. And, you know, like, hang with us tonight. We'll be back. What else we got going on, man?
Just, you know, school coming up.
School's coming up, and I hate to say it. So go out and get your school books and crap. And make sure you get your backstage pass so you can hear our podcast the next day because you can't stay up late listening to the show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Good night.
Phil Henry.